All right, guys, it's me and Rick for the Masters in Motion podcast. It's episode 63, and we are recording on a Tuesday night. It is a week before our semifinals, which is kind of fun. But we're right in this, the eye of the hurricane is what it feels like. The calm,
calm before the storm.
Storm of our competitions, right? How has your past week been, Rick?
This episode is powered by Thirdsy, your go-to for game-changing sleep recovery. Imagine hitting your workouts harder and waking up feeling unstoppable. That's what Thirdsy's PM Recovery Collagen does for me. It's like pre-workout, but for your sleep, fueling your body's active recovery processes without any melatonin or sedatives. Just one scoop before bed supports deeper, more restorative sleep so you can crush your fitness goals. Ready to experience the best rest and recovery? Visit Thirdsy.com and transform your nights into recovery power hours. Thirdsy, because sleep is the ultimate recovery tool. That's Thirdzy.com. Save 20% with code JASONZZZ. Let's get into the show.
Well, as you and I were just saying before we hit the record button, what a quick turnaround. And I didn't take time off from quarterfinals ending. I know no scores were validated and we'll get into the whole video review issues and or lack of. I couldn't wait for that. I couldn't say, I'll wait till I have a semifinals invite in hand before I start working again, because at this rate, you're going to have to sign up, and within 24 hours, they're going to release the workouts. It's going to be, it's a tough, tight turnaround.
It really interesting that CrossFit chose to do that this year, in the sense that they took this idea of expanding to the top 25 athletes to do quarterfinals. And at the same time, they combined all of us Masters athletes and individuals into one weekend, and they created a very tight window for video review for themselves. Like, that is, feels like they created the perfect storm for themselves to, might as well just talk about it, because we certainly wanted to cover this in no more than 10 minutes of our time to be dedicated to.
Would you call it an AMRAP?
The issues with the scoring.
Quarterfinals.
We've got a 10-minute time cap or 10-minute AMRAP.
10-minute,
quarterfinals, video review AMRAP, because
we've
seen all the arguments.
Oh my gosh! Social media, all the YouTube videos, Dave Castro's Week in Review.
Yep.
All of the podcasts that have had an opinion on it, and here we are talking again. But my point is, the sport, and I think a lot of people listening are fans of the sport. In my opinion, it was kind of neat to have it all in one weekend, just in that we all had the same workouts. And so I'd open up my phone and I'd see Roman Krennikoff pulling the handle off the rower. And I was like, well, yes, we're doing the same workout, but no, we're not really doing the same workout. You know, I mean, it was nice, because last year the workouts were at different times and they were different workouts. And it was hard to say, it was just, couldn't compare apples to apples or anything like that. So, that's from my perspective, from the back end, from CrossFit's end. Holy hell, they must be running around with their hair on fire, I think, trying to appeals, video reviews, put out PR fires, or not. And how about our leaderboard? I mean, it started off with our leaderboard not populating for a while. You name it. We've packed a lot in just a couple of weeks.
It's fun for those that are dopamine addicts like me. You know, every time you open up social media, there's another huge update. If we take a look at the last week and we think about the score adjustments, I was on Talking Elite Fitness, and that was still in the middle of the controversy. So we're still unpacking it and getting our thoughts around it. And I know that I think that we tried to be fairly balanced on that episode, sort of talking about it is the responsibility of the athlete to move correctly. It's the responsibility of CrossFit to make that the standards clear. And there was a bit of a disconnect in all of that, and a disconnect, with the camps that had certified judges there, or from the judges association there. Like, they're trying trying to get ahead of the curve on this thing. And yet the standard was clearly written out, but you just didn't have that talk from that head judge before going out of the competition floor that says, hey, if your chin is down, you're going to get a no rep out there.
They needed, knee. something, you need to lock things out.
The soft
show,
knee.
Show us a good rep.
Yeah, all of those. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, it's devastating in its effect on the athletes that are just crushed by their penalty. But then there's also, so, you know, penalties, there were bad reps out there. I think we've all seen them. I think we could see, we are all scrutinizing our own videos to see if we had any bad reps, in our own videos. There was some really curious elements of how they were actually dishing out penalties versus reps. I think about one of the athletes that I was talking to who was a qualifier and is now out of semifinals, but he had something like 11 bad reps on the step ups and but a score of over 220. So about 5%, give or take, if the math is right, 5% of his reps were not good. Okay.
Right.
But he got a 15% penalty. So the penalty was actually, you know, 30 plus reps, even though 11 of them are bad. So when you take a workout like a fight gone bad style workout like that, man, it should almost be bad reps or bad reps. You'd get those reps taken off. You have 11 missed reps. Boom. Mm-hmm. There's your adjustment. But when you attach a 15% on that, it doesn't make the most sense. Now, I understand if it's a chipper and you have bad reps in that chipper, but that helps improve your time in a chipper.
And get 15% you through the work there. Faster. Right. Correct.
Yes. Well, there's a 15 to, but
I think it was spelled out in the rule book on the penalty. Or I saw it in print somewhere where 15 to 40, and that's a change from last year, I believe. Or they expanded on the definition of what they were looking for. Still, this is some of the problems that you run into in competition with still these open-ended things, but there's no way else to do it than run it online, especially for the amount of people that were invited to participate. You know, the 25% that we know wasn't a full 25%, but a healthy number.
It's
still did it.
Yep. And you take that large number that's open to, and now you've got to review all of this. There's probably the mistake is having movements that could have such a challenging score, good rep aspect to them. So, for example, historically, we've done burpee box jump overs or bar facing burpees so that we got over this idea, like, are you even jumping on a burpee? Well, we don't even have to know. Now you have to jump on a box after the burpee. So it makes the rep really clear.
Right.
Chest to bar pull-ups became a thing, I think, because chin over the bar is harder to score, but chest to bar, I mean, the chest touches the bar. It makes it much easier to score.
Right. Yes.
And so, you know, step-ups versus step overs or box jumps versus box jump overs. I think that's why box jump overs are so much easier to score. You just have to get from one side of the box to the other side of the box with a 2 foot takeoff, right?
Better hit the ground to start and you better get over. Right.
Yep. And you make that super, super clear. But step ups or box jump ups and standing up tall, there's a handful, deadlifts, there's a handful of movements that are just so easy to short. It makes judging really, really tricky. And I think if you have this broad of an audience, just go with those movements that, like, did you lock out on the ring muscle up or did you not? I mean, that's, I don't know. Right. If you're locked out, your elbows are straight, or if you're falling back, that one's again, a little bit iffy, but I think it's easier to judge that than it is a step up all day long. So just program stuff that's easy to judge through an iPhone camera.
Correct. Because in live competition, a box step up isn't going to be that hard to correct. A judge should be, and if they're not doing their job, then the head judge is going to walk over. That could be corrected.
Yes.
Too late after you've submitted to your video. Again, responsibility on the athlete. We're all taking responsibility for our videos, but the number of penalties wouldn't be if this were a live competition, because those would have been corrected on the spot, or they should have been, or had the potential to be. So, you know, pick something that, that just doesn't. Yeah. Well, hey, gives everybody plenty to talk about. Let's put it that way.
I mean, it's fun to talk about. What have you noticed in the Masters side? Have you seen anything?
Well, the clock has been ticking, and I'm trying to set a world record for the number of page refreshes between my phone and whether I'm on a website at work or at the laptop here, and nothing has changed. So we're recording this, as you said, Tuesday night. It's the 30th. The note that went out plus the rule book says our leaderboard will be finalized May 1st. I still don't see anything other than some shifting. And I think we did get some, there were some posts today, one of them from Known to Knowable that said, of the 401 of the 526 adjustments for Masters are zero scores. So they either asked for the video and the person, male or female, did not respond, or there was a problem uploading the video, you know, maybe it was blocked, music, something like that, copyright issues. They got a zero score, and then there was no appeal or there was no follow-up. That's how they were saying you could get a zero score. So that's right now they're shifting. There are people in and out of that top 200, but it's likely due to failed video submissions than it is to CrossFit eyes on Jason Grubbs step-ups or Jason Grubbs snatches.
As of our recording right now, the leaderboard for Masters Athletes is finalized tomorrow.
Right.
And the May fact 1st. That we haven't seen, we've got, I mean, if May 1st May 1st ends in 28 hours from our recording right now. The fact that we have not heard from anyone, and you and I both have friends that watch the leaderboard and you, I know you refresh, I refresh, but we've got people that I think other people in my circle would know if I had a scoring issue before I did, because they're watching this stuff all the time.
They're hawks.
And there's been nothing, no movement, nothing. You know, as far as the YouTube video, I don't think I've seen any views on my YouTube video. That's not always the best way to determine if someone's watching a video or not.
We heard that last year. They said their software could look at a video without it counting as a view. I don't understand it. I'm the last person to understand tech.
Yeah.
But it got explained. It's so don't say because there's not a view, don't assume that they're not looking.
Exactly.
That's good to point out.
It's not the measuring stick. So it's okay. With the 200 athletes in each one of our divisions that are going forward, I don't think you and I are worried, really stressed about, you know, 150th place's video getting reviewed. Now, the person sitting at 201 probably wants to make sure everyone has their videos reviewed. So I don't want to negate that at all, right?
Absolutely.
So you want the fairest people at this. So I'm saying the CrossFit Games qualifiers are going to qualify for the CrossFit Games even without this video review. And semifinals, they better review our videos, because that is where the cut happens. That's one side of an argument. Now I'm going to just retract all of that and say that, you know, I know you and I saw the video that Andrew Hiller showed Masters athlete in 90th place that had zero reps on workout 3. He actually had them filmed. There was not one rep done appropriately. There was, you know, the lockout on his handstands were here. He didn't do.
He was bouncing off the ground.
He didn't measure his rope.
Yeah,
there was no tape on the ground yet. He didn't even know how far he was. It was between you and me and everyone listening.
It was the best.
I sent Hiller that video, and I sent it to him. I said, "Hey, you're gonna love this." He responded via text saying, "This is the best worst video I've ever seen." Yep. And I was like, "I knew you'd love it." It's you don't want to be hard on a guy, but dude, that guy. I mean, it's intolerable. But it was a public video. So not only is it uploaded, he made it public, but he is sitting in 90th place. And I think Hiller's point was that he is sitting above one of the individuals that got dinged. So
That's
a problem.
And movement quality was nowhere near. I think he kept referring to Nick Matthew in the video, which is which is a shame, because you've seen Nick on the big stage the last 2 years. You know, legitimate athlete that can compete with the best of them, win events, and is someone to be reckoned with. But 90th place is a respectable score in in quarterfinals. But the trouble is how you got to 90th place. You know, if you were a coach in class, and that was a class, that was someone in a class environment, I would hope that the coach would be making suggestions and helping the athlete, you know, pointing out, like, you know, hey, well, unfortunately, we got to start from square one. But it just made my day watching that video. I just couldn't believe it. I was like,
I mean, it was
here I am stressing over my shoulders being pulled back, stepping up on the box, worried that I'm going to get dinged for the littlest thing. And then there's that stuff out there. That's, you know, to each their own. You know what? The cream will rise to the top, as you said. And so for the Masters CrossFit Games in Birmingham at the August, early September, you know, they're going to crown the fittest in each age group, and they're going to be deserving champions, male and female, across the board. There will be no issues or questions whatsoever. So it all comes out. It all works out. But boy, do we have a rocky road on the way to crowning the fittest age group champions.
It's been bumpy. Now, two things that I was thinking. One, I already forgot what the first one was. Second, I'm just going to move on to
our 10 minutes. Yeah, please.
The first thought, I remember what it was. My friend, Mike McCaslin, a friend of the show for sure. He sent me a message this week. He said, dang it, I could have won quarterfinals. It would have been so easy just to put in whatever score I wanted. You know, if I only would have known that that was how you could win quarterfinals, just put in any score because it's never to get checked. I was like, I know, man, if I would have thought, I thought I would have mentioned that in my strategy video. Like, if you want to win, just put in a really, really good score because it doesn't matter.
That is not the what they want to hear.
Don't do the workouts.
No. Save yourself for semifinals. Now, prep your body. And don't kill yourself.
Here's the reality. What if they asked for my video and I just sent a Mr. Beast video? I just find some video on YouTube and I just send it to them. Would they even know that's not a video of me doing the workout, right? If you get a zero because you did not submit a video, but you actually just submit a random link, would you have a score? Again, this is stuff we don't need to speculate on, and we have gone over 10 minutes. So
there's the buzzer.
There's a way I could create a buzzer in this software, but I'm not going to do it.
That's for later semifinals. Episodes. Yes.
Did you hear this? I heard semifinals was programmed by Joe at Legends and then tweaked and approved by CrossFit. Did you hear that?
I think it's been said. I think yes. I think he said that they were going to have a much more. Seeing what has already been done in the open and quarterfinals, they were going to have much more input on the design with CrossFit approval of semifinals programming. Because
very interesting.
It's telling the story that they're going to finish at the games later this summer. Now, and it won't be apparent to us what that is until it's revealed this summer.
Until we get to the games. Yeah. So there's going to be a story. Joe's programming it. I have a feeling, and I don't know this at all, but I have a feeling that this is probably the rhythm that Joe and Bob have had for years in programming qualifiers for the Legends Championship. I wonder if they've always done this where Joe does of course they're in communication with each other, but Joe does the qualifier and Bob programs the events. I know Bob programmed the games. I think that he has said that, or that's been said, as you said. If we could pick up any clues for those that are listening, if we want to think about what the Legends qualifiers have been like for the past four or 5 years, there could be some insight. And I
think we ought to go back and take a look at them. This past year, I think, was a best of, right? They took what they liked from the last couple of years. They tweaked a couple of different things. And Joe explained that when we had him on way back when. Probably about almost a year ago at this point. But I think some information can be probably, if you want to take a look, gleaned from some qualifiers from the last few years.
Yep.
The type of chipper, there's been some chippers, certainly some AMRAPs.
Exactly.
Everybody who knows Bob says it's got to be heavy. Heavy within reason. Earn your strength. We can't just paint that with a broad brush. Maybe Bob would like us to paint it that way.
So let's throw this out there. Let's talk about these workouts really quick. 23.1, since these were some of their favorites, this is a nice highlight reel of Legends Championship qualifier favorites. Number one, 23.1, which was again for the championship in 2023. It actually opened up with a it's a three-part workout. This is the flow of the three parts. 5 minutes to establish a one rep max snatch.
Mm-hmm.
1 minute rest, 5 minute AMRAP, two dumbbell squats, 50s, standard weights, mm-hmm. two dumbbell front squats, two chest bar pull-ups, adding two every round of that AMRAP. So 2, 2, 4, 4, 6, 6, 8, 8. 1 minute rest, 5 minutes to establish a one rep max snatch again, post-workout.
All right.
Yes. The workout score was the total weight snatched in your best snatch prior and post the AMRAP,
right,
and the score of your AMRAP. So you had two full scores here. And that was, again, I've seen this trend with them where they get really, they do something heavy and then a workout and heavy. They did an event mm-hmm. at Legends in 2021 that was a max snatch and then a bunch of wall balls and double unders and awfulness and then a max clean after yep. all of that work. So yep. this is not the first time we've seen that. And it's a really fun right. way to test, to test this combination. Like, are you strong and are you fit? And then are you right. strong after being, after testing your fitness?
After showing us your fitness.
So that we could say, was it heavy? Well, it was heavy because it did have a max in it, but it was also very mm-hmm. metabolic in that 5 minute awfulness in the middle.
Ascending couplet.
Where you,
yuck.
Ascending couplet. The next workout, 23.2, 8 minute time cap. It was four time. Oh gosh. Yeah, this is gross. Nine burpee box jump overs, nine shoulder to overhead with a 135 pound, 95 pound barbell,
mm-hmm.
standard
mm-hmm.
box. So nine and nine, 12 burpee box jump over, 12 shoulder to overhead, 15 burpee box jump over, 15 shoulder to overhead. So a couplet, yeah. fast, furious. I think I did it sub 4 minutes and laid on the ground in Art Hamilton's garage for 10 minutes afterwards, just after I died. Did you remember doing that one?
I did not do that one. Yes, but I remember
you did. Somebody you were doing from our teams. Gym. You had a broken foot.
I did teams. Yeah, I did teams.
Yep. Yep. Oh my gosh.
But I paid attention to these.
Heck yeah.
Because some of them have been touched okay. and we've done versions of them in years past. And that's when I have yes. done all the qualifiers. So
yes.
Okay, so that was 23.
Here's a dirty one. This was quite dirty. So it was 23.3, 15 minute AMRAP. So here's this nice middle time frame.
Right.
30 handstand pushups, 30 dumbbell snatches, yeah. 15 calorie row. And the dumbbell snatches were, I want to say they were heavy. I'm just trying to see here.
I bet you they were 70-50.
I think I have to look.
I remember.
They were heavy. I remember. Yeah, they were 70s.
Yep. 70,
50 plus, 50 you were 50s.
Okay.
Yep.
But 70 for the men, but, 50 for the women in 35 to 49. Yeah.
Correct. And that's okay. one of those workouts where ooh. you have to think your way through this. You can't just do 30 handstand pushups and then mm-hmm. just start to blast away at dumbbell snatches. Those are heavy dumbbell snatches, and it's an AMRAP. You're probably getting through this three times or three plus times. So it is one where if you end up on the rower, it's just going to be terrible when you finish. It's an awful feeling. But the dumbbell snatch was one where I'm pretty sure I did a certain amount of sets. But this was think about the nature of this. You're pressing overhead, and you've got this huge hinge movement with the dumbbell snatch and your shoulders mm-hmm. on fire. And then the calories on the rower, which is like your rest period, but you can't really rest. And again, another hinging movement.
That was 30, 15, 15?
30, 30, 15.
30, 30, 15. Okay, the snatches had to be an even number to left, right.
Correct.
Left, right. Okay, all right.
Yep.
30, 30, 15, 15-minute AMRAP. Oh, so we've had, you know, the strength, Metcon strength. We've had a couplet and then
sprint couplet.
Now a triplet. Now a longer mid-range triplet. Yep. Okay. You've
next
already got
workout,
four scores.
This was,
yeah.
I already got four scores. There's a lot of scores here.
Four scores.
So 23.5, you had three parts to the workout. First was a 3-minute AMRAP, 10 cleans, power cleans or squat cleans, 10 toes to bar. So 3-minute AMRAP of that couplet with weight number one, 155, 115 was our, it was standard. So of course at higher ages, there's the variations there, but moderate weight, rest 1 minute, AMRAP for 3 minutes. Again, 8 cleans, 8 toes to bar, heavier cleans, 185, 135. And then rest a minute, final 3-minute AMRAP, 6 cleans at 205, 6 toes to bar. And of course, the overall score is the total reps accumulated in that 9 minutes of work with those 1 minute rest periods in there to essentially change your weights or have someone add weight to it.
Okay, 9 minutes of work. Yeah. I've got a couple of themes so far. All right, I'll let you finish the fold.
I am curious about the themes. Let's look at the last one. This was a real doozy, Rick. This was really tough. I feel like I'm missing one in here. Did I miss one?
You just read four.
One. I did. Feel like there was a walking lunge muscle up workout. There was. I missed one, 23.4. 23.4, 14-minute time cap. Okay, we have two more workouts to review. 14-minute time cap, 4 rounds of this. 75 double unders, 40-foot double dumbbell front rack walking lunge, 12, 9, 6, 3 ring muscle-ups.
Ooh.
And this one, the weights... up to 44 years old, 70-pound dumbbells for the walking lunges.
Okay.
Through 54, 50-pound, so 70, 50 through 44. Up to 54, 50, 35. And then above 55, it's 35, 20. And so I would tell you what, those walking lunges were heavy. The 50s were heavy. And I was just grateful one time that I was not a 44-year-old. Being a 45-year-old and having 50-pound dumbbells for 40 feet was okay. But there was a really interesting stimulus with the double unders into the lunges really affected the ring muscle ups. You were pretty beat up for each one of those ring muscle ups.
I bet your heart rate kind of, people always say, the double unders are rest. But at that point, after you're gasping for air, I think.
Yeah, it's just too many. Okay. If it's 40 double unders, it's easier. But yeah, the front rack walking lunges, again, it had this monostructural, and then you've got the pushing aspect in the lunges and the pulling in the ring. So classic push-pull with a monostructural built into it. And then the final workout, 23.6, was a familiar pattern, 9, 15, 21, 27, calories on the rower, lateral burpees over the rower. So two different workouts with burpees in this qualifier. But one was a very sprinty burpee box jump over style. The other one was this lateral burpees over the rower where you were just set yourself on fire going 9, 15, 21, and then hang on for 27. There were some really impressive scores, not by me, but by most of the other athletes on this particular workout. It's another couplet. So those were the qualifiers for the Legends Championship. These were all very challenging workouts. Obviously, we got quite heavy in some. We got a max tested combined with fitness. But with all of that said, now I'm going to step back and let you share your observations.
If I remember correctly, they did give you floor plans. Is that right? They gave you pretty specific floor plans. Okay. So they kept it except for those walking lunges, they kept it in a pretty controlled and tight area. Not saying they couldn't do something with handstand walking or shuttle runs, but my point is I think those are some complete tests that they were able to keep in a box, fitness in a box, in order to have an online competition, kind of let the top athletes rise up to the top. You know, we just climbed a rope in quarterfinals.
We could see it again. We saw it twice last year.
We could see it again, but given the bias, we're going to assume there are some biases in the programming from Joe that you know, he's going to lean on things that he's liked or done, and not necessarily, and, you know, as long as it's not out of the, you know, out of left field, HQ will probably, you know, give it the check. Those felt and looked very different than I think what we've gotten from semifinals from HQ the past few years, or AGOQ in years past. I don't know, just something about their design, certainly more moving parts. I think semifinals in the past have been pretty straightforward, like 75 cleans, 300 double unders. There you go. Simple.
That
four
was
rep
awful.
Max, four rep max front squat, or 9-6-3, 12-9-6 overhead squats and burpee box jump overs. I'm pulling all from one year, but what I'm saying is those were pretty straightforward and simple. And here with Legends, you have a bit more moving parts. Now, do they want to introduce that? Because here we go, circling back to our video review process. Boy, is that a lot to watch. And yep. We've heard Joe and Bob interviewed before and say the video review is their least favorite thing to do. Like they just decide after a while, and they have some other people helping them with it too. And I think they're going to be able to leverage the HQ group. I don't think it's completely on those guys.
I believe right? for semifinals is completely handled by CrossFit.
Okay. So Bob and Joe are like, here you guys go. Here's your have fun judging. So yeah,
We'll take it back. Actually, we got this.
Yeah. I liked that you went through those because I guess I hadn't tried to draw the threads out of what makes their programming different than what we've seen, I think, historically from HQ. It just looks, if you looked at programming enough over the years, they just look very different. They're testing the same thing. And you can't say those Legends fields didn't bring the best athletes at the time of those who chose to participate to the live competition. But boy, those look different than HQ semifinals.
And, you know, it would not be the worst idea, athletes that are listening, planning for quarterfinals. We just went through the year, you know, 2023.
Right.
There's four years of, I don't know if they had a qualifier in 2019. But I know for sure the last 2020, 21, 22, and 23 all had qualifiers.
I did one before the pandemic. So there had to be 2019. That might have been their first.
Yep.
I know I did one then because I qualified, but I chose not to go out. That was the one out in San Diego prior to the 2021 being insane.
Prior
or 2022.
Yep. You want to talk about workouts that, really mess you up. I mean, I think about some of the Legends qualifiers, the ones that just stick out in my mind, like, oh my God, I can't believe that workout. If you remember one, I remember doing this in an alley because it was COVID time. So I was in my garage and in an alley doing single arm overhead walking lunges. And it was a descending length of walking lunges, but it was certainly a lot. I mean, I want to say it was like 200 feet and then 10 hang squat cleans at a certain weight. And then you got back to walking lunges and it was 8 squat cleans at a lighter weight. A heavier weight. I'm sorry. So it might've been like one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say for men, it was like 135, 155, 185, 225, 255, 285 or some obscene number, but it finished with two hang squat cleans at 285. And I was pretty sure I'd never done that before in my life. And I hit two in the alley after all the walking lunges. And it was what I love about good big tests like that is that Legends, CrossFit will do this as well, is they'll throw out a test that you look at and you just think, my God, okay, they've lost their minds. I can't do it. I'm done.
Yep.
There's no way I can do that. And I know there's probably quite a few athletes that thought to themselves, like, there's no way I'm doing 50 wall balls, 50 burpee box jump overs three times. I'm just, there's no way I'm going to get through that. And then you just do, right? Legends has, I can think of a couple of others, but we don't need to go into all of them, but they know how to test you. They know how to push you. And I agree that there's just a slight nuance that's different than the CrossFit. Cause you and I can just, we know every AGOQ quarterfinal, semifinal workout we've ever done since the first one we've done. If you and I had like went to a trivia night at a bar, mm-hmm. and it was AGOQ workouts from 2015. Right. We got this. Okay.
Now, wait, it might be attended by only two people in the bar. Let's put it that way.
It's fine. Let's frame it. We flip a coin.
Yeah. Right. Trust me. And they're not packing people in. We're both drinking athletic brews anyway. For trivia night. Yeah. Yeah. They are not. No, that's not bringing in people.
It's obscure. It's a very narrow audience. But you're right. There is just something about the feel of going through these Legends ones. There's a slightly different feel to it. And something that we're probably, as we go forward in the future, going to want to get to know like the back of our hand in the same way that mm-hmm. when we go and see what they provide for us next week, you know, there's always a shock to the system, but mm-hmm. sometimes there's a shock and you're like, ah, this feels Legends like, this tastes like Legends. Like you could probably send a message to Joe and like, well done, sir. We probably should send him a message. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? And really just give him a hard time. We'll put his number out here. We'll actually post his number online.
He'll reply with an emoji. We just won't send him an emoji.
Right. He literally won't care.
That's going to be the first thing I think I'm going to think of is you have to look at them in total as they're released. And what's the first thing that comes to your mind? You know, do they look AGOQ-like? Mm-hmm. Do they look last 3 years of semifinals? Or do they have a Legends feel to them? We're going to find out.
That's going to be fun.
It's only in a week.
Yeah, we're going to find out.
Before you know it.
The turnaround, which we didn't talk about this. I know we wanted to, but I think we don't need to spend a whole lot of time on it. But I'll tell you what, this last week and this week is it's a challenging time in training.
Right.
You're trying to keep the engine running smooth and running clean without overdoing a whole lot. You're practicing some movements that you know we typically have seen, and just trying not to get hurt. Because after semifinals, we actually have this wonderfully long runway to the games where we can take a little deload, a legitimate deload. I mean, we can do things like for you are not allowed to go play golf when you qualify for the games. I know you love golf. I know how much you like doing it, but you broke your foot last time, and that's just not going to happen this year.
We're not doing that. I'm getting ahead of myself there, but you're right. The 2 weeks in between this time, I think, is a little rushed. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
But I also don't like that dread because, you know, I'm a very different athlete than you are, obviously. And I've had successes and I've had failures. And I don't like that real long extended time that's hanging over my head that I just keep thinking about in the future because that kind of stuff just wears on me after a while. So this compressed time, while not ideal, does allow you to just kind of keep moving, you know, and before you know it, it's here and we're going to just lay our cards out on the table and see how it stacks up at the end. But if you gave me another 2 months, I'd go nuts, I think. I mean, I'd rather the buildup gets to me. So 2 weeks isn't great, but it's better to me than 2 months. I just want to keep rolling along.
Very fair assessment. And I agree with you there. With that, I think that's a wrap, Rick. What do you think?
I think it's a good way to finish on a Tuesday night.
All right.
Let's do it.
To those of you that have been listening, we appreciate you as always. To anyone who's watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel so that you get notified and we show up in your feed. We just want to say we've appreciated the comments that have shown up on YouTube. That is a place where you can comment, ask us questions, give us feedback. We appreciate that. For Jason Grubb and Rick Stevenson, we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for tuning in to the Masters in Motion podcast. We'd be so grateful if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast app. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Your support helps us reach more listeners and grow our Masters community. Until next time, get bolder, not older.